we say good morning to Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky. Mike, welcome back.
Good morning, Greg. It's really nice to hear your voice this morning. I know there's tens of thousands of people every day that look forward to having their coffee with you virtually over the radio, and I'm glad to join you.
Hey, a disturbing story today, just reading news of the big meatpacking plant that had to close down over the weekend near Plainwell. They had 60 cases of COVID-19. Now, I believe the plant has reopened today, but they've had to limit their staff there, and that is a troubling story, Mike.
It's troubling in more ways than you might imagine, Greg. I chains, and I say chains with that S, plural, because we have many of them, are all intimately and intricately connected, whether it's the food industry, the meat industry, the transportation industry, the healthcare industry, the education industry, the manufacturing industry, all across the board. And any one of those, if they have a problem or a hiccup, will affect the rest of them as well. This is something that most people in government, frankly, don't really truly understand. And that's why people are so anxious, and that's why we see these examples like you just cited, where one piece of the Jenga puzzle pulled out of that tower can cause the entire tower to collapse, which is another reason why we have to really focus on finding safe ways to get back to work. In this particular case, in the meatpacking case, one of the things that prohibited them from being able to catch it soon enough was, frankly, a shortage of testing. And that any businesses will start, when they start coming back into operation, will probably break up their groups and their people into smaller groups so that if somebody becomes affected or has symptoms, they can isolate a smaller group, do some quick testing if it's available, and it will be, and then be able to safely and confidently tell folks, yes, you please stay home until you recovered, and you guys can safely continue to work. But this was very disturbing, and it's probably going to happen a couple more times. But again, I put the punctuation point, Greg, on the fact that all of our supply chains are connected in one way or another, and we rely upon each other, and that's the reason why we need to safely get back to work.
But it really has to be smart, doesn't it, Mike?
Very smart, and it doesn't take that much to do it. We've got companies throughout Michigan, across the nation, and in the world, some very simple companies and some exceedingly complex companies that have proven that with the proper protocols, policies, and discipline, both of the company and of the employees, it requires both to be partners here. If both of those are practiced with some discipline and commitment, then they can operate very safely, and this is being proven over and over and over again. And the longer we continue to do this artificial shutdown, and by the way, I want to back up in history just a moment and say, when this insidious virus hit the shores of Michigan, we didn't know enough and didn't have enough data to be able to put together a more elegant plan. And so we relied upon the blunt force of government action to arrest the spread. And I was supportive of that in the beginning and continue to be for a number of weeks. But now we've got the benefit of 2020 hindsight and other examples across the globe to demonstrate that we can do it differently now. And that is what we're struggling with. Those of us who think we are ready to slowly and safely roll out our economy and let back to work, and those who are seeking a risk tolerance level that is probably unattainable. Freedom requires this, all of us, to take some risk. And if we chose to try to strive to achieve zero risk, the only guaranteed outcome will be zero liberties and zero freedom. So it's a balance that we're trying to achieve. It's a bit of an arm wrestling contest right now, I admit it, but I think everybody's goals are the same.
Mike, it's all about testing, isn't it? And we are getting more testing, but we're probably not even close to where we need to be.
Testing is a constraint for sure, but I caution folks to be careful about relying too much upon our current types of testing. We have a high number of false negatives that are occurring. We're proving that over and over again by people being tested and then being tested again 4 days later, and all of a sudden they're positive. And so we've got to be very careful about relying too blindly on tests. Testing is a critical component and would have been, I suspect, help in this particular meatpacking facility to be able to isolate smaller groups and then test and then be, have some confidence that those that were allowed back to work were indeed safe. So testing is a constraint, no question about it, but I don't think we should wait upon, you know, some kind of artificial number of test availability to then to release ourselves and begin to go back to work very, very safely.
The Republicans came out with a five-step plan last week. I don't know where the Democrats were there, but the governor seemed to, when she was asked about it yesterday, seemed to like at least some phases of that plan.
She's starting to use some of the language that we used in our suggested framework, and I emphasize that word very carefully and specifically. Nobody in my end of the spectrum thinks we're smart enough to know every detail of how we can roll out a plan, but a detailed plan. But we do know how to understand how to define problems and then reach suggested solutions. And so our framework is exactly that, and we're inviting the medical community, public health community, and others to help us refine it so that it can be as good as it possibly can be before we roll it out. The House Republicans yesterday announced a similar, different but similar plan, and the White House this last week also submitted something that's, they're all similar in that they're phased in, they're all similar in that they assess risk, not essential. Our definition and our reliance upon the definition of essential, frankly, created as much problem as it solved, and that was a mistake. I think something that we'll learn our lessons from and going forward. But focusing on risk assessment and then safely, securely, incrementally, surgically, scientifically, data-driven rollout of business after business that has, starting with the lowest risk ones and then achieve, and moving toward the highest risk ones, is the right way to approach this. And I'm hoping that our governor quickly determines that we can do this sooner rather than later.
Mike, what about our first responders? Do obviously we owe them a debt of gratitude. Do we owe them more than that?
We can never, ever, ever express the fullness of our debt of gratitude and thanks to those first responders. And by the way, the definition of first responder has expanded in this particular environment. It's not just healthcare workers. It's not just police and fire and EMS. It's those folks that have to, don't have a choice, but have to deal with the public and with the potential of exposure all the time. I do believe there's some rationale for hazardous duty compensation, and we have to be careful about that in terms of setting precedents, but we could never, ever, ever express enough gratitude for those folks that have been, you know, doing their best to maximize the number of survivors that contract with this crazy insidious virus and help those folks that have contracted the virus kind of get through their cycles and get back to some level of normalcy. And hopefully someday we'll be able to convey that appreciation to all of them. But right now, all we can do is say thank you.
Mike, give us a sense. Are lawmakers working with the administration, or is it everybody has a different plan here?
That's a very fair question, Greg. And I'm disappointed to report to you that there has not been as much interaction between the legislature and the executive office on this specific topic as I would have hoped. It's the reason why the Senate Republicans chose to come out with a framework because we were just concerned that there was no framework, no proposals, no plans, no anything on the table, and people were losing hope. And I think that was best manifest by the protest that occurred last week on Wednesday in Lansing. Now, I wasn't necessarily a fan of some of the behaviors of people that attended that protest, but in general, most of the people there were there because they were frustrated that they saw no action being taken to allowing them to take some control back of their lives, be responsible, and get back to providing for their families. And so our country was built on the foundation of being able to protest and redress government when we weren't satisfied with what they're, how they're behaving. And we never, ever, ever want to give that up. And so, yes, there's not enough cooperation yet. I think there's a difference in a level of appetite of risk tolerance that's occurring right now. And I also believe that this heavy hand of government, a one-size-fits-all solution, has taken its toll because there's just there is no reason to do it other than the fact that we didn't have enough time to design a more elegant solution. Now we've got the vision. Now we've got the 2020 hindsight, and we should be quickly moving to more differential geographic plans that allow some areas to open up sooner than others, always being prepared to have to ratchet back down on controls if the virus rears its ugly head and begins to spread quickly. We can do this. We just have to be committed to doing so.
Yeah. Are you concerned, Mike, though, that we could waste the 6 weeks if we get back into a surge of some sort? And certainly Southeast Michigan, disproportionate cases there.
We have to do a very thorough oversight and retrospective review of what caused the disproportionate representation there. I don't think it's only related to the difference in the people. I think there are other systemic reasons why that area was disproportionately affected. But as I mentioned a moment ago, any plan that we put in place has to rely upon the continued collection of data, the continued sharing and transparency of data, so everybody in Michigan can see what's happening, because it is very possible that a county, an outstate county, may all of a sudden experience a surge, and at that point in time, based on data, we may have to restrict travel and social gathering again in an extreme way, just to prohibit or inhibit the fast-acting spread, also to protect the healthcare systems in some of the remote areas of the state that don't have the blessing of having the robust, high-quality health system capacity that Southeast Michigan has enjoyed. So it's not an either-or, Greg. We can do both. We have to do it smartly.
What's your prediction for May 1st here? Will we see an easing or some businesses getting back?
I am hoping that our governor actually starts easing up on her stay home, stay safe order even today. We have given her four very narrow, very specific suggestions on amendments that she could do to ease things today that would provide more clarity for construction, more opportunity for those who are in a very, very low risk enterprises like the fellow that mows my yard here. He comes, he shows up, he unloads his truck, he mows, he leaves, he sends me a bill, I send me an invoice, and we never even hardly talk, except when Sue oftentimes will leave a plate of cookies down where he parks his truck. And so there are four very specific suggestions that we've given the governor that she can start sending the message that we're ready to start changing our trajectory and providing some hope. And then on May 1st, or April 30th, or in that neighborhood, I believe that there will be an action by the legislature to strategically extend the order in order to allow us to put into statute the necessary precautions going forward. There will not be an appetite in the legislature to do any kind of wholesale or long-term extension. We're beyond that now, and we're going to have to face that and wrestle with that and arm wrestle with that with the governor between now and May 1st.
Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky. Mike, appreciate the visit.
Yes, sir.
Talk to you soon.
Stay in charge, brother. Take care.
Take care.